The following is a presentation of CJPE 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county in Prince Edward County.
But first up, we have one of the partners here in our studio from Base 31. And today we're going to be talking about the drill hall. You may have heard about the incredible events that have been happening there at this venue that they've set up for concerts and even a couple of theatrical productions. And so Tim Jones is in our studio right now. Thanks for coming on the show, Tim.
Thanks, Suzanne. It's great to be here. And before we get going, I just want to say thank you to County FM for all your terrific support of our programming this year. It's really, we couldn't have done it without you.
Wow. Well, I've been hearing all sorts of really great things about the productions at your place. So, all right. So let us first talk about how the drill hall works. So congratulations on a very successful first year as a new venue for concerts and theater in Prince Edward County. And let's first talk about the places where music happens at your location, the drill hall. Is there another location on your site as well where music and theater are performed?
Well, we've had quite a few outdoor music activations on the site. And the drill hall has been our main concert venue this year, but we're busy renovating other buildings. And next year, next spring, we'll be opening something called the Sergeant's Mess Hall, which is going to have an amazing venue for music and comedy and other performance. And we're also kind of in the process of designing an outdoor stage. So this year, while we had one large venue, next year we're going to have multiple venues on the go.
Okay. What issues did you face this year that are things you're wanting to change for next year?
Well, you know, it was an amazing kind of experience, you know, and a full team effort to pull together a concert venue. And really, 6 or 7 months since we purchased the whole site, it was an amazing feat. And a lot of people kind of came together to help make that happen. We had terrific support from the county in terms of the you know, the building permits and the kind of all of the issues that went into actually permitting that space, as well as kind of, you know, the new team that we put together, sort of producers, partners. I mean, it was really kind of an amazing experience. When we started this project, we wanted to kind of start to bring some life back to the place. And rather than just talk about what the future, we wanted to really, we figured talk is cheap at a certain point. We wanted to demonstrate. And the drill hall was one of the ways that we did that to attract some really significant artists and to start kind of the process of reimagining what this place can be.
Well, it's pretty incredible. Like you say, like from the get-go, Sarah Harmer, that was your first concert. Really incredible. Personally, I've seen one performance at your venue when David Miracle organized the night of performances on September 24th as a fundraiser for the upcoming TTO, the Mohawk Language and Cultural Central that is going to be built in Tiendanega. And so the lighting and the sound this night was so top-notch, along with all the other, you know, thought-provoking and inspiring performances, obviously, that took place that night. And it felt like being at a stadium that had years of putting concerts together. So what do you attribute this level of professionalism to?
Well, it really kind of, I mean, it starts with the building. I mean, the building is terrifically suited to become a concert venue. And while it's not currently heated or insulated, it makes a great space. The proportions of the building, its ability to handle sound is really surprising. And we've had everything from the 22-piece orchestra, the Big Lake concert that we hosted there, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which sounded spectacular, to Sarah Harmer, and then more hard-driving kind of rock bands like David Wilcox. And frankly, they all sounded great. It's kind of a bit of a miracle. So that's partly the building, but a huge amount of credit also goes to our the sound and lighting company that we hired to design and install the system, the PSI group, and they've done work all over the country and internationally. They're really a top-notch company, and so they've also helped us on the technical side with the technicians, etc. So that, huge props to them for helping to pull that off, because it's not as easy as it sounds or looks. You know, and we've been adjusting as we go, adding more sound absorption sort of curtains and stuff as we go, depending on the acts. But a lot of it comes down to the talent of the technicians to kind of mix the sound and run the lights in a way that's actually really suitable to the artists that are on stage.
It probably, I guess, depends on who the act is up on stage, or is it always the same regarding how many members are in the crew, the technicians that put this together?
Well, bands often bring their own sound technicians, but we have ours as well that kind of are running the lights and setting things up so that they can have a fantastic experience. So it is a bit of a collaborative effort when it comes to the production quality. It's also about, you know, making sure that things are working and, you know, that the sound checked. We had a kind of a bit of a scary moment, which happens in live performance, where sort of our, you know, the power for the sound and lighting system was running on a generator sort of this year because we couldn't get the permanent power hooked up in time. And our generator conked out sort of before the David Wilcox concert. There were 700 people who were coming, and we're like, just really at the last minute, somebody from the fire department helped us get it going and, saved the day. So that's kind of the kind of thing that happens when you've got a live performance venue, and unexpected things can really happen to you.
That's amazing. That's just like an ER doctor that is on an airplane when somebody has a heart attack. Wow. Yeah. I imagine that your heart was actually beating a little bit faster in that very moment. So the drill hall isn't really an outdoor venue, but there's big open doors to the outside and the building isn't winterized. So how much does weather play a role for performances at this venue?
Well, it does at the moment. As I said earlier, we were sort of, it was a minor miracle that we could get it open this year. And someday in the future, we hope to be able to kind of make it a year-round sort of concert venue. But it won't be ready for for this year. So we have a few more events up our sleeve for the remainder of this season. We have something called the Holly Jolly Market that will be happening in November 18th, 19th, and 20th, and another dance event and a couple of other private things that are on the go. But we'll be back next spring with a full season of activity. We'll continue to do some big name sort of concerts. There'll be some comedy. And we're going to continue to do some fundraisers, because one of the things that we've discovered is that it also, in addition to being a great music and comedy venue, it's a great place to raise money for some important things, and we want to be part of that.
Yeah. So, for example, the TTO building that is going to be built in Tyndinaga, it was fantastic to learn about why this is necessary. And boy, did people ever walk away with feeling that night. I remember the acts up on stage were suggesting, if you go to the merchandise table tonight, basically all of the funds that were raised from CDs, from T-shirts, from baseball caps, etc., about the bands that were up on stage, 100% of the proceeds were going to go towards a TTO. And I don't think I've ever seen such a lineup at any merchandise table, no matter what concerts I've ever been to.
Right.
So everybody got the message.
Well,
that
we're huge supporters of TTO, the Language and Culture Center in Tyndinaga. Hope this is the first of many collaborations with them. Their new facility looks fantastic, and it's one of two major fundraisers we did this year. The other one was called We're Funny That Way, a queer comedy festival, and it was really in support of the Picton Library's 2S LGBTQ plus drop-in program, as well as helping to really, frankly, rescue a queer refugee from Yemen and bring him to Canada. So great to actually do work that's entertaining, but also to make a real difference in the world is one of the things we're going to continue to do up there.
And that's as part of the Rainbow Network, right?
Through the Rainbow Charity Network, yes.
Wonderful. Okay, it sounds like there's probably a great story there as well. If that person from Yemen would be interested, is this person moving to Prince Edward County?
They're just we're bringing them to Canada, so that's I'm not sure where they're going to decide to settle.
Okay, the name Drill Hall, it sounds like it relates to history of this area, previously known as Loch Sloy. Can you tell us why it's called the Drill Hall?
Well, as many people know, the site was a former World War II air training base. So bombers and gunners from Commonwealth countries across the Commonwealth came to train there, up to 8,000 of them, sort of over the period of the Second World War. And they built a whole community up there. There's a theater, there's kind of obviously some hangars. There's also kind of barrack buildings and officers' quarters. But one of the buildings, the drill hall, was the place where people, recruits, were actually sort of practiced their drills, their marching. It opens up through those big doors onto the parade grounds where they would kind of continue that outdoors. But a significant part of the facility was also a gymnasium. So you can see on the floor, if you look down, there are lines for volleyball courts and stuff. And so that's part of the kind of history of the place that we thought, this place has been a public place. It's been a place where people came together to do things. And we thought, how fitting would it be to find a new use, like a concert venue where that can continue to happen only in a different way.
Amazing. Do theatrical productions require different equipment to put on a show?
Absolutely, yeah. We had roaming Theatre Roulant in for a short run this year, and they had a completely different setup. They brought some of their own sort of lighting and sound with them, and it was a different configuration. So that's one of the kind of amazing features of the room, is that it's very flexible. It can be set up in lots of different ways, and we can accommodate lots of different types of performance.
All right, so lastly, do you feel like providing a teaser now about your plans for concerts next year?
Well, I don't have anything to announce today. We're going to hopefully announce our season sometime early in the new year. It's going to be, I would say, even more exciting than this year is. There's going to be more concerts, more events, more partnerships and collaborations. And we're really excited about the potential of this place. You know, when we started, we didn't know whether this was going to work. And I think coming out of this year, we feel it's been fantastic. It's given us a lot of confidence about the future of this place. And there'll be lots of fun things to talk about and celebrate when we're ready to do that in the new year.
So you had a vision, and like so many visionaries, often what comes when you are a visionary is even more positive stuff out of putting your vision together. So would you say that, can you recall anything extra that happened beyond your original vision?
Well, you know, there's lots of twists and turns as you go, because we really didn't know how it was going to work until we put the sound and lighting system in there, whether it was actually going to, you know, in that big wooden box, whether it was going to sort of just reverberate off and be terrible. But actually, it worked really, really well. So we've also found that, we were fortunate in the selection of artists that sort of all found audiences here in the county, and there was lots of interest. So we've learned some things. I think we want to do a little bit more in the country lane sort of next year, because we know that there's going to be big demand for that. There's some local artists that we're talking to, as well as some internationally known artists. So it's going to be a real mixture that, you know, really proud of the fact that we, for the openers for all of the major musical acts, that we were able to celebrate local talent and involve them. Well, in fact, all of the talent. Sarah Harmer comes from Kitchener, sort of Bedouin Sound Clash, also kind of met there and formed their band there. So there were local connections to everything that we did, but especially the openers for some of the headlining acts were all from the local community, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, Tim Jones, thank you so much for coming on the Tuesday Grapevine. We really, really appreciate your time today. And yeah, really look forward. I'm sure County FM and Craig Mills is going to be looking forward, I'm sure, to collaborating with you and the Drill Hall and whatever other venue there's going to be at your place at Base 31 next year.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Going to cut right now to commercial, and we'll be back in a moment with Cassandra Bond of the Children's Foundation. The Children's Foundation.
This has been a presentation of CJPE 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county in Prince Edward County.